Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating butchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm U.S. Oh, shit, what am I? I write books occasionally.
There we
and
go.
And we're best friends.
That's we are it. Best friends. It's spring.
It is.
It's springtime.
I have random flowers in my front yard. I'm very excited about this.
Oh my
Purple
God.
Ones in my front yard.
Those are crocuses.
Is that what that is?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks as if I planted them, and in truth, I did not.
You know, the reason they're alive is because you didn't know they were there.
That's the truth. And it's lined up so beautifully along my walkway. It's like I did it on purpose.
Oh, how exciting.
Very exciting.
I can't wait to see your new deck, which have you been posting on your author page about your deck? Because that stuff is very impressive.
Yeah, I can. I absolutely can, mm-hmm. which I will do, but yeah. I haven't. But I'm very pleased with the deck. It's brand new. I can't wait to furnish it and have parties.
Oh,
so grill will be forthcoming. It's going to be serious.
And I'm going to come over and do all the gardening.
And you have a whole plan from the backyard. It's your backyard. Do what you want to do.
Yeah, I'm going to make Joss a carefree yet beautiful Japanese-style garden with perennials, bushes, stuff that needs no care and that she can't kill. I mean, she's like Sauron. The gaze of Sauron, she looks at a planet and dies.
It's 100% true. I mean, it's mean, but it's absolutely the truth. It's absolutely the truth.
I don't know. I think you should be sort of excited about your power. So, Joss, we have a great letter today, and I think that it will speak to a lot of our readers. Why don't you go ahead and read it?
Okay. Hi, ladies. I'm new to your podcast, but already such a huge fan. Well, thank you. I'm writing in about a close friend that I feel like I've been growing apart from for some time. The two of us met in college and bonded almost immediately. After college, we were roommates and we were, admit tingly, a little wild lots of party going on.
I think she meant, and we were, I admit, a little wild, lots of parties going on.
Gotcha. Listen, readers, listeners, I am old and not up with the lingo, so don't LOL me, okay? Use your words is all I'm saying. Okay, both of us were single and in our early 20s and just focused on having fun. A few years went by. I met my current boyfriend of 3 years, and she ended up settling down a little later with her current boyfriend and had a child. Now, in our early 30s, I'm very much a homebody. I value my alone time, quietness, and my hobbies when I'm not working. My partner and I bought a house about an hour and a half away from a lot of our friends, which makes it a little harder to make spur-of-the-moment plans. And when I do visit, I tend to avoid making plans with this specific friend. She doesn't seem to have grown up and is still in party mode most of the time. She texts me nonstop about guys she's met, had a secret fling with, new crushes, and her frustration with her boyfriend. She's always complimenting herself and seems to be convinced everyone she meets is in love with her. Personally, I don't value people, especially friends, with huge egos, and it leaves me feeling very turned off from her personality. That, on top of the fact that she never listens to my advice and is always turning the conversation back to herself, is making me question the relationship. I've tried to be a good friend up until this point, but I'm feeling very burnt out and used. I'm very non-confrontational, and she has a tendency to freak out when people are completely honest and straightforward with her. I care about her dearly and just wish things were like they used to be. How do I talk to her? Is this even a worthwhile friend to keep around? Thank you so much. Signed, Exhausted.
Oh, Exhausted.
Wow.
I think you know the answer to your own letter, sweetheart.
I think you do.
Yeah. There are so many red flags about your friend. You know, it was good while it lasted, and it stopped a few years ago when you grew up and she didn't. You know, you like to party together in your early 20s and in college, and that's fine. Those are your salad days. You know, it's the time to be irresponsible and wild. And if you're ever going to do it, unlike Joss and me, who've been like old ladies our entire lives.
So sad.
So true. However, you know, you settled down, you bought a house, you enjoy your alone time and your hobbies, and she doesn't seem to have changed. And what horrifies me there is that she's a mother, you know?
Yeah.
As a mother, she hasn't changed. She's having flings, crushes, a miserable relationship with her boyfriend. And yet she seems to think that she is like this darling that everybody adores. So, you know, that's who she is. That's who she is. Then you go on, dear, exhausted, to say she never listens to my advice. And here's where older and wiser Joss and I can say, and she never will.
No, she never will. 100% she never will.
Nope.
Ever. No matter what you say, no matter how you say it, because you're thinking, if I just find the right way to say it, she'll listen this time. Right. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth.
And she likes to complain to you about all these things that are going wrong. And you say things perhaps like, well, maybe it's time to break up, or maybe you should see a therapist, or maybe you shouldn't sleep around. And she doesn't care what you think.
Right.
So that is backed up by, she has the tendency to freak out when people are honest and straightforward with her. Well,
that's the problem. Is that not a major problem?
She doesn't want to hear it. She doesn't want to hear the truth. She doesn't want to do better, live a better life. She's completely happy with where she is. And that tendency to freak out, how very convenient. She makes it impossible for anyone to have a straightforward conversation without going crazy and making you feel bad. So I don't see where you're getting anything out of this friendship, exhausted, except exhausted. That's all you're getting is exhaustion.
Yeah. I mean, I see that you're remembering the good times here because you want things to be the way they used to be. But those good times were only there when you guys were working at the same level. So you were both in school, you were both partying, you were both single and having a great time. You grew up and had a partner and created a life for yourself. And she unfortunately did not. So right now you're two different people. People, you've grown in different directions. You've grown up, she's grown in a different way. So you're two different people. So there's no going back to how things used to be for you.
That's a really hard thing to accept and to metabolize and to really move away from, you know. And we've all had it. If you are a woman, you have had that moment where you said, but we used to be fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And you mourn that. That's what you're missing. You're not missing her as she has been for the past few years. You're missing back when we were young, we had so much fun. And I think where you have to go with this is that it doesn't mean that you didn't have fun and you weren't great friends. You were. And then you grew apart. And the fact that she's still texting you nonstop and she's still treating you as if you are close when she doesn't really seem to have any introspection or mutuality there, that she's not really caring about you. And maybe I'm reading between the lines here, but it seems like it's all about her, complimenting herself, saying how much everybody loves her. And I think you should say to her, knowing that you are never going to get a meaningful adult friendship out of this, saying, you know, listen, let's call her Wild Child. Listen, Wild Child, I have to say that our friendship is getting more difficult for me. We don't have as much in common anymore. And, you know, I just feel like I've really grown in a different direction, to borrow Joss's phrase. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to hear about you, you know, with all these men and flings and crushes and frustrations when you seem perfectly content to be exactly where you are. Mm-hmm. So I can't be that sounding board for you anymore. But, you know, maybe we can see each other at the holidays.
Yeah.
So if you do want to keep some kind of open door, or cracked door, maybe, you know, get together for half an hour of cocoa during Christmas or Hanukkah and leave it at that. And, you know, maybe someday she will grow up and she will say, my God, I was such a jerk in my 30s or whatever. And I'm so glad you put up with me, but you don't have to put up with her daily or hourly. You know, you can leave the door cracked if you really think that's a possibility. And if you don't, you know, you're allowed to step away from friends who make you nothing but exhausted. Joss and I have an entire chapter in Crappy Friends, the book, about one such friend who it sounds like she is wild child in this, you know.
I mean, I was getting flashbacks reading this to that writing that chapter.
Right. You know, where you think, but she used to be this, and we just want that for her. And you're just basically watching her pounding her head against a brick wall while saying, isn't this great that I'm pounding my head against a brick wall? And, you know, you don't have to put yourself in that situation. It's not good for you. You have other priorities now. You have a partner. You may want a family someday. She's taking up room where you could have more meaningful friendships.
Yeah.
And I think go ahead, Joss.
Oh, I was going to say, I would say that what you're feeling right now is something that everyone goes through, where you kind of grow away from friendships that you had when you were much younger. This is pretty normal. I think what's going on with you is you have a front row seat to her sort of decline. Right. And most people just kind of slowly grow apart and it's fine. I do worry about this woman and her child. My God, is she still partying and going through all these things?
I know. It's hard to know what kind of home life that kid has, but it, based on what you said, it doesn't sound great. And, you know, she's never going to listen to your parenting advice. You know, you're not going to be able to say, I think how you're raising your kid is horrible. You know, I mean, you could say it, but it's not going to change anything. I think that if ever there's a time for one honest conversation, you can say it or you can write it. You can write it in a letter, which will be read, and she will interpret it however the hell she wants, which will probably be, I can't believe you're such a stuck up bitch and have stabbed me in the back this way. Of all my friends, I thought I could count on you. Because that's her way of staying, you know, the good guy, and you're the bad guy. And she certainly doesn't have to think twice about herself if you are just a horrible person. That's what happened to Joss and me with our friend Iphigenia or Euphemia. I forget what we called her in the book. But, you know, you do your best. You have that honest conversation, whether it's in person or in letter form. Don't text it, though, by the way.
Texting
just feels dangerous. Write it down, send it. If she takes a picture of it and posts it on social media, well, you know, at least your words will be out there. And be prepared for the backlash of her telling everyone how horrible you are. But you know, in here, in this letter, you have expressed, is this even a worthwhile friend to keep around? The only reason you're in it is nostalgia.
Right. That's true. And I would bet a decent amount of money that her other friends are kind of coming to the same conclusions.
Yeah.
And feeling the same way. If they have grown up the way you have and have sort of shed these things that you did in college for more mature things, they're probably feeling the same way.
Yeah. And, you know, we get so many letters of this type of, we used to be friends. We're different now. My life doesn't fit the kind of friendship she wants or we used to have. What do I do? And again, it's this notion that we have to stay friends till we're buried. Yeah. We don't. We shouldn't. You know, she was your friend in this time period. You met in college. So, you know, there's not even the bonds of childhood. You know, you had a short and intense and very fun friendship that ended essentially years ago when you grew up. Right. So don't tie yourself to people like this. Don't allow yourself to be exhausted. You know, you owe it to your partner and to your other friends who are more reciprocal to have that energy that she takes away from you to give to them. You know,
I agree 100%. And I also think it's okay for you to expect to be respected in this relationship. You say she's always turning the conversation back to herself. And we just had a letter where someone mentioned that friendship should be unconditional. And we said, no, you are allowed to expect respect from someone, from your friendship. And you are exhausted, allowed to do that too. You're not getting any respect, it seems, from this friend of yours.
Yeah.
And maybe you could include that in your one honest conversation or your letter or however you choose to do it.
Yeah. It's tough. We're not saying that we don't understand what you're going through because we've been through it. And, but it just doesn't sound like she brings anything to your life except fatigue. And you sound like you have a very nice, well-rounded life. And, you know, you get to have that. You owe her nothing. And I would say that you owe her perhaps that letter or, you know, if you feel like that's impossible, we always recommend the slow fade where you don't answer her texts. Yeah. And you just say, oh, he's so busy with some other things. Don't address the things that she's bringing up. You know, like you don't have to weigh in on her latest crush or affair. Yeah. And, you know, if you want to send the kid a present on his or her birthday, go ahead and do that, you know. But cut yourself free. Mm-hmm. Sounds like she's pulling you under.
Yeah, I agree.
So Joss, we got an embarrassing personal problem. And by the way, listeners, we have been more than honest with you about our wounds, our hairs, our horrifying feet, our hooves, I should say. Yeah. It's your turn. And to the person who sent the following embarrassing personal problem in, you have our thanks, admiration, and gratitude. Dear ladies, I was Zooming with an old friend a few weeks ago, and he mentioned having an embarrassing story for me, but didn't know if he should say it. Jokingly and curious, I said, no worries, I have one too, without really thinking. He told me his story, a sex mishap, definitely embarrassing, and he was pretty red in the face. Then he asked me to share mine to change topics. I drew a blank. I considered a sex mishap story too, but then I accidentally blurted out, I have a hemorrhoid. While making a flourishing, almost presenter-like hand gesture. It was true, but I hadn't even called my doctor yet. He was mildly disgusted and informed me these were very different situations. But he was nice and overall concerned. Oh, wow. That, you know, discussing hemorrhoids with an old friend who's of the other gender from you, I can see how awkward that is. And I might even have to use it in a book someday.
I really enjoyed that. I love your honesty. I love that even when you're drawing a blank, you default to this incredible honesty.
Yes.
It is so entertaining for me and Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that. Preparation H probably for you.
Maybe a stool softener. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.